There's a lot in the chapter that has to do with the subject that I'm preaching on tonight, but the part that I want to focus on is beginning there in verse number 4, where the Bible says, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They're gone away backward. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers." Now, the title of my sermon tonight is this: The Sinful Nation of France. The sinful nation of France. Everywhere we look, we see today the French flag, and you can't go online without seeing it on every website, the French flag. I'm going to preach tonight about this sinful nation of France. Now, on Friday, there was a terrible massacre that took place in France where over 100 people were murdered. I heard something like 128 people so far that were murdered. A terrible tragedy. Massacre. And these murders were carried out by Muslims who are the followers of the murderous, reprobate, false prophet Muhammad, who was a pedophile. Yep. And the book that characterizes this religion, Islam, the Quran, is filled with nonsense and garbage and violence and filth. And it's a really just a horrible culture, and it's a horrible religion, and it's of Satan. Okay, it's just that simple when it comes to Islam. But listen to this from CNN when we think about this terrible event that happened on Friday in France. This is what CNN had to say. "The worst carnage occurred at Bataclan Theater, with at least 80 left dead. A journalist who was at a rock concert there escaped and told CNN, 'We lied down on the floor not to get hurt. It was a huge panic. The terrorists shot at us for 10 to 15 minutes. It was a bloodbath.' Julian Pierce didn't hear the attackers speak, but he said one friend who escaped heard them talk about Iraq and Syria. Later, he said the men were speaking French. Two men dressed in black started shooting, and after wounded people fell to the floor, the gunmen shot them again, execution style." Now, what I just read to you was about the place where most of the killing took place. You know, out of 128 dead, 80-some were dead at this rock concert. Let me tell you a little bit about the rock concert that the people were at when they died. This is what a lot of people are not emphasizing about this story. The concert was for a band called Eagles of Death Metal. Okay? So these people are at a concert of a band called Eagles of Death Metal. And these are members from another band that's known as the Queens of the Stone Age, but they're men. Okay, but it's the Queens of the Stone Age. Here's an article about the front man of this rock band, Jesse Hughes. Okay, I'm going to read for you this article. "As two spotty teenage fans, one dressed in skinny pink jeans and a goofy oversized cap, poked their head nervously around the dressing room door at Islington's O2 Academy, Jesse Hughes calls out to them." This is the main guy of the band. "Come in, boys. Dudes, can you roll a joint? Don't put tobacco in there. I like to smoke it pure. And don't worry about running out. I got some more coming later so we can keep you nice and stoned all night." For Hughes, the hard, drug-taking, fast-living frontman of California-based rock band Eagles of Death Metal, the 10-second conversation barely registers. But for the two wide-eyed young men, it was one they will probably never forget. The moment sums up Hughes perfectly. Renowned for his close bond with his fans, he also refuses to do anything at less than full tilt. Make no mistake, hanging out with Hughes is a proper rock and roll experience. An unashamed fan of crystal meth, or as he calls it, speed, the craggy-faced and ginger-mustached, self-confessed hillbilly from South Carolina looks and acts like a man born to be a rock star. And he proudly reels off one debauched story after another. He's not nicknamed the devil for nothing. He has endless tales of fighting, shagging, and drug-taking excess. Now, I wish I could read you more of the article, but it's all so filthy and profane, it was hard to even find any quotes from this article that could even be read from behind the pulpit. But here's a few that I found. Here's what he said. I'm deeply religious, and I felt like the devil had given me a song. He's talking about songwriting. I'm deeply religious, and I felt like the devil had given me this song. So his religion's to worship the devil.
Right.
Eagles of Death Metal is the name of the band. And the Bible says in Proverbs, all they that hate me love death.
That's right.
Speaking of God, those who hate God love death. You know, there's something about when you go to a concert of death metal, somebody might get killed.
Right.
You know, you're worshiping death. And then all of a sudden people start dying. Oh, wait a minute. What's going on? Well, you love death so much that you bought the ticket. You love worshiping Satan. Well, let's have some of Satan's religion come in and shoot you. I mean, that's what these people should think about before they go to such a wicked concert. And look, I'm not condoning what these Islamic murderers did. They're wicked. They're murderers. But you know what? Nobody should be at a concert worshiping Satan with this drug-pushing hillbilly faggot. And that's what he is. I mean, all you have to do is just Google this band. Somebody told me, somebody emailed me and said, just hit Google Images, Eagles of Death Metal. And these guys are just total sodomite-looking freaks. You know, but nobody thinks about that. It's just, oh, no. Let's stand with France. No, France is a sinful, wicked nation. Let me tell you a little bit about France. I'm sorry, before I do, though, let me finish some of these quotes from this article. Hughes claims that doing crystal meth helps his creativity. He says, I wrote our first album when I was on a hot run of speed. Recalling one occasion where he feared for his life, Hughes recalls, in 2010, I was at a gay bar in Oklahoma. Because the secret to score speed all around America is gay bars at 5 a.m. Okay, these people who got shot in France were going to see a guy who likes to hang out at gay bars at 5 a.m. Okay, now listen, again, not condoning the murderers, but I'm telling you something. God will judge you when you live a life of sin. There's consequences to sin. And you know what the Bible says? He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed.
Right.
Sometimes just hanging around with the wrong people can get you destroyed.
Yep.
How many people do you know where they were in a situation where they weren't even guilty of anything, but they were just hanging around with the worst kind of people, and then they got into trouble, and they got into guilt by association and everything else. This was a very wicked event where this took place, this Eagles of Death Metal concert. There's nothing cool about death. There's nothing fun about death. I don't think they thought it was fun when people were getting shot in this horrible massacre. But then they think it's cool that, yeah, death metal, yeah, Eagles of Death Metal, yeah, rock on. There's nothing cool about worshiping Satan. And you know what? There's nothing cool about doing meth either. Have you ever known people whose lives are destroyed by meth? And it's not just what it does to their teeth, but what it does to their body and their mind and their teeth and their whole life.
Yeah.
Evil pursueth sinners, Proverbs says, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. Now, let me tell you a little bit about this sinful nation of France. Did you know that France is the only country in the world where more than 50% of the population thinks that adultery is fine? Did you know that? In 2013, the Pew Research Center did a poll of all these different nations all over the world. And only one nation reported back where more than half of the population said that there is nothing immoral about having an affair, as they like to call it. The Bible calls it adultery. So they just think it's, I'm not saying that half of them have done it. I'm saying that more than half of them think it's perfectly fine. They're not even saying, well, it's wrong, but we've done it. I mean, they're just saying there's nothing immoral about committing adultery. More than half of the population of France. You want to talk about a sinful nation?
Yeah.
That's wicked. It's unbelievable. You know, by comparison, the United States in the same poll, which is going down a wicked path itself, 84% of the people in the U.S. said it's not morally acceptable. It's wrong to commit adultery. 84%. But over in France, only 47%. Only 47% thought it was wrong to commit adultery. The other 53% don't think it's wrong. And Germany wasn't that far behind France. 60% of them thought it was wrong. The other 40%, no, it's not morally wrong. Can you believe that? Here's some other stats about France. You know, because we're supposed to all be in mourning today. All of us over here in Tempe, Arizona, on the other side of the world from this massacre, we're supposed to be mourning today about these 120-some people who died in France, but we're not supposed to give a rip about the 500 babies that France aborted today. That doesn't matter. Forget that. That doesn't. Who cares about that? What about these death metal fans who died? Let's all, you know, worry about them. But nuts to these babies that died. In fact, did you know that every year there are more babies murdered in France than are born? More than 50% of the babies are murdered. Less than half of them are not aborted. I mean, if a woman gets pregnant in France, it's more likely that she'll have an abortion than not. And Sweden's even worse. The abortion rate in France is 50.5%. A little more than half will be murdered. Call it what it is, it's murder. Yeah. In Sweden, 68.8% of babies are murdered. Almost 70% of the babies are murdered in Sweden. Canada, 46.4% of babies are murdered. Great Britain, 39.4%. United States, 34.9% of babies are aborted. Did you know that France has frequently been named one of the most gay-friendly countries in the world? Did you know that recent polls have indicated that a majority of the French support homo marriage? And in 2013, another poll indicated that 77% of the French viewed that homos should be accepted by society, homosexuality should be accepted by society. It's one of the highest in the world. Did you know that Paris has been named by many publications as one of the most queer-friendly cities in the world? Did you know that on December 31st, 2004, the National Assembly of France approved an amendment to existing anti-discrimination legislation making homophobic comments illegal? This sermon wouldn't even be legal in France. A lot of sermons that I've preached in the past on the subject of sodomy would not even be legal today in France. They don't have the freedom of speech to preach the word of God like we do here today. The mayor of Paris from 2001 to 2014 was an open sodomite, Bertrand Delanoy, or however he pronounces it, who was openly a sodomite as far back as 1998. He came out of the closet, and 3 years later, he's elected mayor of France, or mayor of Paris, France, for, you know, those 14 years that were mentioned there. Can there be any doubt that France is a sinful nation? How many perverted things have come out of France? How many wicked fashions have originated in Paris, France? It's a sodomite capital. It's a sodomite hub. It's an abortion holocaust on a daily basis. It is a wicked place where adultery is the norm. It's acceptable. It's wonderful. And the judgment of God today is on the sinful nation of France. That's why France is suffering tonight, because they're wicked in the sight of God. Amen. Because they've hated the Lord, because they've hated His word, because they've persecuted those who actually preach the true word of God unto them. And now they're suffering tonight as a result of their sins. Yeah. That's the true story. Amen. And you know what? I'm sorry for innocent people who were murdered. But you know what? They went to a wicked concert. And you can't just disassociate that from what happened. Right. You can't just say, well, that had nothing to do with it. No, the path that we choose in our life influences what happens to us. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And I hope every young person who's listening to me tonight realizes that when you choose to hang around with the sodomites of this world and the death-worshipping cult of the gothics of this world, you have to understand that you may be killed. Something bad might happen to you, because it's death that associates itself with these people. What does the Bible say? You say, well, Pastor Anderson, I don't like the way you're preaching. Did you listen to Isaiah chapter 1 as it was being read before the sermon began? Because it was harder preaching than anything I've said so far. And it's just the word of God straight out of his own mouth. Look down at your Bible at Isaiah chapter 1 with the sinful nation of France in mind. Verse 4, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They've forsaken the Lord. They provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They're gone away backward. Is there any doubt about that? I don't think there's any doubt when you just look at the facts of what that country is like. Why should ye be stricken anymore? He's saying, you know, I'm not even going to bother chastening you or chastising you. He says, you'll revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They've not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, watch this, strangers devour it in your presence. Now, what are strangers? Strangers are foreigners. Okay, the Bible used the word stranger to describe a foreigner. Because they're from another land. They're a stranger in a strange land, as Moses said. The Bible here is talking about God being angry with a sinful nation. And what's the punishment? That strangers devour it in their presence. And it's desolate as overthrown by strangers. Why is it that France is being overrun with all these Muslims coming in? And bringing in their wicked religion, and now they've brought in the violence that's associated with that religion. And you know, you can call it Muslim extremist all you want, but you know what? When the Muslims are in charge, this is how they don't allow you to be another religion and do soul winning and preach the gospel. Go to the countries today where the Muslims are in power, and guess what? You can't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You convert to Christianity, you die! You convert Muslims unto Christianity, they'll hang you. They'll kill. I've talked to people that are in Iran. I've talked to people that are in these countries. And they said, you know, even just for helping you translate this movie or these materials that I was getting translated through them, they said, I could be killed for even working on this. I could be hanged. It's real. When they take over, they have no religious freedom. That's why you look at these Muslim countries and it's 98% Islam, 95% Islam. Look at the stats on Islamic countries. 97% Islam. You think it's just because everybody in that country just happens to all believe in Islam? They just happen to all love the Quran? No, because you have to be Muslim. Because if you're not, you're persecuted. If you're not, you're ostracized, hated, or even killed. Okay, that's how these people are. That's what the Quran says. Slay the infidel. Kill them all. Slay them everywhere you find. And when you see these people going in to this theater and these other venues in France and murdering innocent people, they're following the Quran right there. But see what people, and I think when I say that, everybody kind of says, yeah, amen. We know, you know, and everybody kind of realizes that part of it. But the part that they're missing is, why is God even allowing these heathen hordes to invade them in the first place? And that is because France is a sinful nation.
Right.
That's why they're being given over to this punishment. Look, it's not a blessing when Islam takes over your country. That's not a blessing. That's not the blessing of God. It's not a blessing when Muslims come in and start burning the place down and blowing things up and shooting and raping. And by the way, remember how I read that raid about abortion, how Sweden was even worse? Well, guess what? They got a bunch of Muslims coming in there too and crashing the party up there too. Why? Because God said that when you're a wicked nation, strangers are going to come in and devour it. God always brought in the heathen hordes to mess up Israel when they sinned against the Lord too. And see, nobody wants to address the spiritual problem. You know, you can sit there and wave a flag, you know, vive la France and vive la République and, oh, you know, I stand with France. You know, I can't stand with that kind of filth and smut.
Amen.
Sorry, I can't stand up for that kind of smut. I'm not going to stand with some country where more than half the people think adultery is fine. I hate adultery. Who hates adultery? I hate adultery.
Amen.
I hate it.
Amen.
It's wicked. It's horrible. You know what? I would rather die than for my wife to commit adultery. It's so hurtful. It's so harmful. It's wicked. These people just think it's fine. It's so hurtful to everyone. Who hates adultery? Put up your hand again. I hate it. It's wicked. And yet these people think it's fine, but let's stand with... Here's what President Barry Satoro said. Let me read it for you. Here's what Obama said. This is an attack not just on Paris, not just on the people of France, but an attack on all humanity and the universal values we share. Well, hold on a second. I don't share that value of just free, open sex. I don't share that value. I think that's horrible. I think it's disgusting. I think it's repulsive. I think it's uncivilized and filthy. I think it's ungodly. I think it's an abomination. I don't share that value. This is an attack on our value, universal values. What universal value do I share with Obama? It's not the respect for human life. It's not the respect for the unborn. It's not Christianity. It's not Jesus. It's not the true word of God. It's not a King James Bible. It's not even faithfulness to my spouse. It's not even, look, I don't even share heterosexuality with Obama. Because he's a homo.
That's right.
And so the bottom line is that this country of France is being devoured for a reason. And it's funny because people come to me and say, well, you know, are you sure that your doctrine is right about foreigners and about immigration? Sure you don't want to rethink that doctrine in light of what's going on over in France? You know, because I believe that immigration's good. You know, I'm not against people immigrating to the United States or crossing any other imaginary lines for that matter. But the bottom line is, though, that there's a reason why these things are happening over there. And I say to myself that France's problem tonight is not my problem, because I'm not the one that says adultery's fine. Because I'm not living in the gay capital of Europe. Because I'm not living in a place where more than 50% of the babies are murdered. Not my problem. And you know what? If God wants to judge them, that's between them and God.
Amen.
And God often uses heathen hordes and barbarians to judge people. He did it all throughout the Bible. He brought in the Babylonians that did all kinds of horrible things to the children of Judah. Not my problem. But you know what? We're next.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it will be my problem, you know, when it happens here. Why? Because our country is on that same slippery slope. And what the reaction ought to be tonight, you say, why do you preach this, Pastor Anderson? Why you got to be so negative? Why don't you just wave the France flag and just get along with everybody? Because listen, the real response tonight ought to be, let's not do what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're stupid. Let's not do what they're doing. Let's be different. Let's be Christian. Let's be godly. Let's stop murdering our own children. Let's get rid of the sodomites. Let's not go down that path that France is going down.
Amen.
And you know what? The answer is not to build a big wall and bring in the military and put up more barbed wire and landmines at the border. No, the answer is to get right with God.
Amen.
You know, you can't fight against God. You can sit there and put up all the walls and all the barbed wire and all the machine guns, but you know what? If God's mad at you, you're going down.
Yeah.
It's that simple. Safety is of the Lord.
Amen.
The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord.
That's right.
I say let's support France by giving them the gospel.
Yeah.
Let's preach the gospel of Jesus Christ unto France. Let's teach them that adultery is wicked.
Yeah.
Oh, they don't want to hear that? Well, then nuts to them.
Right.
Then I got nothing else. That's all I got for you, France.
Amen.
Silver and gold have I none, but the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Ten Commandments and thou shalt not commit adultery is what I'll give unto you, France. That's all I got for you.
Amen.
I don't have a penny to send to you. I don't have a dime. I don't have a nickel to send to you, but I'll send you a big blown up picture that just says, thou shalt not commit adultery.
Yeah.
Thou shalt not go a-whoring after other gods. That's what I'll send you, advice. And this is what the Bible teaches tonight. Look down at your Bible in verse 15. You say, pray for Paris, pray for France. Okay, what does the Bible say? When you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you can pray and pray and pray, but when your hands are dripping with the blood of the unborn, God's not listening. And I'm not listening either. And when you're going to sit there and just become a Sodom and Gomorrah, that's even mentioned in this passage. Look what the Bible says in verse number 9. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant. And let me tell you something. France has a very small remnant of Bible-believing Christians. It's very small. And I thank God for every saved, born-again child of God that's living in France. And I know there are many people in France who listen to my sermons on a weekly basis. But let me say this. They understand what I'm preaching tonight, and I guarantee you they agree with what I'm preaching tonight. If they're part of the very small remnant, they know about the wickedness that they're surrounded by. They know that there's not an independent Baptist church down the street that's going soul winning and preaching the truth. They know it's a very small remnant. They know that sodomy and adultery and filth abound because they're there. They live there. What does the Bible say? Except the Lord had left us a very small remnant. We should have been like unto Sodom. We should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the Lord our God. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. And laws like thou shalt not commit adultery. Laws like, thou shalt do no murder. Laws, like murdering your unborn child, like abortion, for example. He says in verse 15, when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. This is what the Bible says is the answer for France tonight.
Right.
Stop being wicked. Stop being such a sinful, evil nation. God will never bless that country until they get right with God. Just like God will never bless our country until we get right with God. And you know what? We're not as bad as they are yet, but that's the path that we're on. There's a very small remnant over there of actual Bible-believing Christians because 51% of the people there are Catholic. 35% are atheist or agnostic. 7% are Muslim. That's how much Islam has invaded into France, where 7% of the population now is Muslim. Well, so what? Because it's a stupid religion. Anybody, just look, just pick up the Quran and read a few pages, and you're going to be face-palming, and you'll realize how bizarre and dumb it is, what a worthless piece of junk that book is, and people who follow it are stupid, and many of them are barbaric. You know, and I'm not saying there aren't nice people who've been deceived by it, but you know what? They need to be saved and they need to repent of Islam and they need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and their only Savior.
Amen.
3% Protestant, 2% other. I guess that's where Bible-believing Christianity is under the 2% other. Somewhere between like Scientology and, worshiping trees or something. And then Judaism, 1%, and 1% don't know. They don't know what. Can you repeat the question? So there's always that factor in every poll that's taken, right? Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter number 5. Jeremiah chapter number 5. See, I'm not trying to be mean tonight. I'm just telling the truth tonight.
Amen.
Everybody wants to just feel good and sing kumbaya, and they want to just have solidarité with the people of France. But you know what? The people of France need a swift kick in the pants. And I wasn't trying to rhyme with that, but I did. France needs a kick in the pants tonight. Why? Because there's a reason why your country's being destroyed. Because you're not having any kids. You murdered all your kids. And then all these heathen hordes are coming in, and they're the only ones that are having kids. They're the only ones who are multiplying. You're so pumped full of birth control, and then the ones that do get conceived, the ones who do break through, you murder more than half of them. And then you wonder why, our country's being taken over by Islam. Yeah, you're not having any kids. That's why your kind is dying out and Islam is taking over. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure this out.
Right.
And it has nothing to do with race. Who cares if people are red, yellow, black, or white? But, when they have this slay them everywhere you find them ideology of the Quran, that's the problem. It's nothing to do with what color their skin is. It's irrelevant. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 19, and it shall come to pass when ye shall say, wherefore doeth the Lord our God all these things unto us? Man, why is God doing all this stuff unto us? Then shalt thou answer them, like as you forsaken me and served strange gods in your land, so shall ye serve strangers in a land that is not yours. Declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah, saying, hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not, fear ye not me, saith the Lord? Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail? Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it? But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap. They catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich. They're waxen fat, they shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper. And the right of the needy do they not judge. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely. That's their 51% Catholic priests lying to them.
Yeah.
And the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? What will you do when it comes back to bite you? What will you do when you've sown the wind and you reap the whirlwind?
Right.
Flip over to Lamentations. Next book in the Bible to the right is Lamentations. Go to Lamentations chapter 5. I'll start reading while you get there. Verse 1, remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach. Watch this. Our inheritance is turned to strangers. Our houses to aliens. We're orphans and fatherless. Our mothers are as widows. We've drunken our water for money. Our wood is sold unto us. Our necks are under persecution. We labor and have no rest. We have given the hand to the Egyptians and to the Assyrians to be satisfied with bread. Our fathers have sinned and are not, and we've borne their iniquities. Servants have ruled over us, and there is none that doth deliver us out of their hand. We gat our bread with the peril of our lives because of the sword of the wilderness. Our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine. On and on, just all the bad things that happened to them because of their wickedness. Flip over to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter number 28. Title of the sermon tonight again, the sinful nation of France. It's a sinful nation by any definition of the word. Very sinful. In many ways, it is one of the most sinful nations in the world. When it comes to adultery, most sinful. Many other metrics, they're the most sinful. Ezekiel 28, verse 6, therefore thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God. Now, you say, why read that verse? Because the philosophy over there in France is humanism.
Yeah.
The French Enlightenment, humanistic thinking. And you know what humanism really is? It's just setting up yourself as your own God. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee.
Yeah.
So what's God going to do to the wicked nation that says, oh, well, we all are God. You know, it's humanism. We don't need God's rules like thou shalt not commit adultery. We don't need God's rules like thou shalt do no murder. We don't need the Lord our God. And they just set themselves up as their own authority to do what's right in their own eyes. Well, God says, as a punishment, I will bring strangers upon thee. And you know what they are? Muslim strangers. The terrible of the nations. And they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom. And they shall defile thy brightness and scream, Allah Akbar.
That's right.
They shall bring thee down to the pit. Thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas at the Eagles of Death Metal concert. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I'm God? But thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers. For I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. People today are saying, well, you know, we need to pray because, you know, it's so horrible that, you know, these strangers are over there and God's up in heaven hearing these prayers. He's like, yeah, I sent those strangers. Hold on. Is that not what the Bible says that he would do? God's like, whoa, whoa. Why are you praying for the strangers to leave? I just sent them. You think I'm just going to turn them around and make them leave? I just sent them there. I sent them there to devour. Why? Because it's a sinful nation. And what we ought to be praying is for the people of France to be saved, to believe in Jesus, to turn unto the Lord, to turn away from the wickedness and the filthiness of their doings. You know what we ought to be doing is focusing on preaching the gospel to France.
Right.
You know, that's all we can do for them is preach them the word of God. And if they won't hear it, then there's nothing you can do for them. I mean, you can't do anything for people who won't listen to the word of God because they're on a path to destruction.
Yeah.
You know, we need to explain to them that Eagles of Death Metal is not a cool band and you need to stop having them come. No more Eagles of Death Metal concerts, people. It's not safe to be at that concert because God hates their music because the lead singer's nickname is the devil. Because he loves to promote drugs unto young people. I wonder why he wanted that little pink pants wearing. I don't know. Anybody catch that in the article? Come on in here, little teenage boy in the pink pants. Let me get you stoned all night. It reminds me of Habakkuk 2:15.
Yeah. Right.
Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Except instead of drunkenness, it's meth or whatever, the drugs. You know, he seems to be confused about the name of his own drug of choice in the article. But flip over, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. This is the wisdom that we need right now in light of this story. I don't know what the agenda here is. I'm not sure, you know, why everything happened the way that it did, but I'll tell you this much. I know one thing for sure. France is suffering tonight because they're a sinful nation.
Yeah.
There's no question about that in my mind. Because by every biblical measurement, they're wicked and sinful. And when I see strangers coming in and ravaging their land, it's just the biblical pattern. And it shouldn't come as a shock to anyone. That's one thing we know for sure. You know, I don't know what warfare this is going to lead into where we say, oh, hey, you know, now France needs to strike back at the Islamic State, right? And there's going to be, I don't know if there's going to be some warfare now between France and, you know, the Muslims over in the Middle East who carried out this murder. But I know one thing, not our problem in the United States.
Right.
We should stay out of it.
Amen.
No, we got to stand with our adulterous, filthy whore of an ally, France. I'm not interested. I'm not going to spill one drop of blood. My kids aren't going to shed one drop of blood in that battle. Not interested. Not interested. No interest. They got a problem with God. That's between them and God. Well, don't you care? Yeah, I care enough to tell them the truth. Somebody needs to show some tough love tonight and say, you know what? You guys are a bunch of whores and whoremongers and filthy, disgusting, wicked people, and you need to get right with God or God's going to slay you all with the sword of the heathen horde.
Amen.
That's what needs to be told tonight because it's the truth. That's what's biblical.
Yeah.
Go to Proverbs chapter 5, verse 1. Proverbs chapter number 5, verse 1, the Bible reads, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labor be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of water in the streets. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray." The sinful nation of France. But we should not be high-minded and puffed up over here in the United States, because we're on that same path. Yeah. We're on our way. We're not as bad as France. And you know what? I've been to France. Who's been to France before? Yeah, several people have been there. I've been there. I've been to a lot of countries in Europe. I've been to Germany a lot. And I'll tell you this right now. As bad as our country is, and as immoral and godless it is, you spend a little time over in Germany and spend a little time over in France, you feel like when you come back to the United States, like you're coming back to the promised land. You feel like you're in Canaan land, a land that flows with spiritual milk and honey. Because let me tell you something, it's a dark place over there spiritually. I've even talked to a lot of the missionary friends over there when I would go to stay at their houses, and I've done soul winning over there and preached over there and just been a servant over there for churches and pastors that were ministering in France, Germany, Norway, other places. And you know, this is what they told me. They said, "I feel like when I go to the United States for a while and then I return to Europe," they said, "like when the plane lands, I feel like there's just this cloud of spiritual darkness that I'm entering. I feel like I'm just entering a land of spiritual darkness." And I just remember coming home from 3 months in Germany and getting to the United States and just thinking like, God bless America, you know, because it just seems so godly by comparison. And that's, you know, that's not saying much because, you know, our country is getting pretty immoral. But man, it's way worse over there. Don't let any of these fools ever tell you, "Well, in Europe, here's how they do it over in Europe." And don't you for one second believe that picture that's floating around Facebook where there's these, you know, beautiful teenage girls on bicycles with AK-47s on their back through a beautiful field. And it's like, yeah, this is what Switzerland's like. It's this paradise where everybody just has gun rights and freedom and liberty. It's a fraud. It's a lie. You know what? In Germany, homeschooling's illegal. Illegal, as in they'll come and arrest you, take your kids away from you, and take them to school with a police escort. Happens all the time in Germany. Not just a threat, it happens. Okay? Same thing in Switzerland. I don't know what the deal is in France. I wouldn't be surprised if it's not much different. But I know in Switzerland, all the worst kind of just teaching the kids about what goes on in the bedroom takes place in kindergarten and first grade and everything in a mandatory public school that you must put your kids in. You know, Europe is not a role model for us, friend. I don't want their form of government. I don't want their health care. I don't want their socialism. And here, I've got news for you. France is not a free country because you can't preach against the homos without breaking the law. So you don't have freedom of religion, freedom of speech there, apparently. In fact, I think I heard about somebody just in the last few days who was arrested for saying the wrong stuff in France. You know, they don't have the freedoms that we have. We are a godly country in comparison, and that's not saying much because we're a wicked country in the United States. They're not a role model. They are a bad example of what not to do. We don't need to follow in their footsteps. And all we can do to them is hold forth the word of life unto them. That's all I want to do tonight, is to just reach out my hand to France and say, listen, God is setting before you this day life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life.
Amen.
But you know what? Until you choose life for that unborn child, you can't choose life for you and your family and your country. Until you choose to cast out the sodomites, you know, God can't bless you when you embrace that kind of filth and wickedness and elect to your highest position of Paris an open flamer, an open homo. And then it's like, oh, God, please bless us. He said, I'm not listening. Not listening. You know what? Marriage is supposed to be a commitment where we keep ourselves only unto them until death do us part. It's not just our partner for life and then we go out and have some mademoiselle on the side. No. That is something that God hates, and God even said the adulteress and the adulterer should be put to death. Major sin, wicked sin. God forbid that the United States, I mean, we're already down to only 84% of people that think it's wrong over here. They're down to 47% of people that think it's wrong. Let's not go to the Eagles of Death Metal concert here either in the U.S. And let's not take the drugs and kill the babies and be pro-homo over here, or we're going to suffer the same kind of fate that they're suffering over there. And you know what? I know that sometimes people will try to construe it as, oh, you're defending Muslims. I'm not defending these people. I will say is I love Muslims and I want them to be saved. You know, and I even organized a soul winning campaign a few months ago where a whole bunch of us, you know, 60 of us went to Dearborn, Michigan, and we gave the gospel to Muslims all day long. And we had a whole bunch of Muslims get saved. And we had even more Muslims reject the gospel, but we did our best and we tried hard, you know. And I've even, you know, worked hard to try to get some of our documentary films translated into some of the languages of these Muslim countries. I mean, Marching to Zion has been translated into Arabic and Persian, which is what they speak in Iran. We've got stuff translated into the languages of Uzbekistan, Azerbaijan, you know, African countries that are Islamic, just on and on the list goes. We don't hate these people. We want them to be saved. But you know what, though? Most of them aren't saved, and they're not going to be saved, unfortunately. We want them to, but most of them just have a plan to come in and invade the country, and it goes from 6% to 7% to 8% to 9% to 10%, and then when they reach critical mass, they take over, and then guess what? Now they're in charge. Now people start dying, okay, because the Muslims are not a peaceful religion. Despite what Barry might try to tell us to calm us down, or George Bush will try to tell us, oh, Islam's a beautiful religion. No, it's not. It's a wicked religion. It's disgusting. It's started by a pedophile. It's a horrible religion. But you know what? That doesn't make France innocent. And we need to get off this left-right paradigm where, oh, well, we're against the Muslims. That means we're with France. No, how about we're neither with France nor with the Muslims? We're with Jesus.
Amen.
You know, why don't we just worry about our own problems over here instead of getting involved in somebody else's fight with God that they're having right now? Because God's bringing the strangers, just like he said he would. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord. And I know that in the day of mass media, Lord, so many of us are plugged in the sense that, you know, we get online and we're bombarded with information, images, ideas, and people want to control our way of thinking, and they want to kind of frame the narrative to us, and they want us to see it through their lens of France good, Muslim bad, and just get this false view so that we can get all rah-rah about getting involved in some war on the other side of the world that has nothing to do with us. Lord, help us not to get sucked into the media brainwashing, but help us to focus on the one thing that matters, the gospel and the word, and not all this other junk. Because if we don't have the word, if we don't have morals that are from the Bible, you can't bless us anyway, Lord. Lord, I'm not praying to you right now asking you to bless the wicked, Lord. I'm asking you, Lord, to open doors that the gospel would be preached in France and that many people would be saved, that there would be salt and light in France that could help that nation be at least turned around somewhat to where at least you could bless your people in that nation, and that it could actually improve somewhat through faith in your son, Lord, and that eternities could be impacted, Lord. But Father, you know, do whatever you have to do over there, Lord, because I don't blame you for judging this filthy Sodom called Paris, Lord. It's your will that needs to be done, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.